Okay, welcome everybody. I think we can start. So last week we started to talk about consensus. And so I want to continue with that topic in today's lecture. So here we again have this big overview of different things. There's many more things one could talk about. So last week we talked about basically some introduction and then the first three. We looked at consensus in shared memory systems. We looked at weight-free asynchronous consensus. We saw that this is not possible deterministically with just read-write registers. And then we saw that with some more sophisticated registers, consensus is possible. So basically the goal for today would be to talk about all the rest. Of course, we cannot talk about all the rest here in detail. So the things which are written here in gray, we will not talk at all. Let me admit one more student. So the things which are written here in gray, we will probably not talk at all. About the others, we will talk some level of detail, but sometimes I will just give you an overview. So let's just see how far we get. Okay, so just as a very quick reminder, what is consensus? We talked about this last time. So the setting is we have N processes or nodes. Maybe today we'll mostly call them nodes. I'd say 1 to N. Each process or node has an input from some domain. Very often we just talk about binary consensus, then the input is just 0 or 1, but it could be also from some larger domain. And then every process that doesn't fail has to output one of the values from the domain. And typically there are three conditions we want to satisfy. There's the two safety conditions, agreement and validity. Agreement just says that all the non-failing processes have to output the same value. So they have to agree on one value. And validity depends a bit on the exact setting, the exact failure model, etc. But kind of the standard validity condition is the following, that if all inputs are equal to X, then all the outputs should also be equal to X, or of all the inputs sometimes of the non-failing processes. We will see this. But that's kind of the standard validity condition. And then kind of we want the algorithm to make progress in the sense of that we want non-failing processes to terminate and to terminate in a finite number of steps. Okay, so last time we saw that with asynchronous read-write registers, this cannot be solved deterministically. And we also saw a way to get around this with shared memory by introducing more powerful registers that can do more powerful operations than just read or write atomically. Okay, I don't want to talk about this anymore because today what I want to talk about first now is, so what happens in synchronous systems? Sometimes we can somehow tell if a processor has crashed, right? In an asynchronous system, we never know if another process is just very slow or if it has crashed. But sometimes we have some timing. And in particular, right, in the ideal case where we have a synchronous system, then we have synchronous rounds. And now we can ask, okay, what happens if we have synchronous rounds? Can we now solve consensus? And this is what I want to look at. Here I want to switch back to a message passing model. So we now talked about shared memory, and I guess for the rest of the lecture we will talk about message passing again. Not just today, but I guess also the rest. So the model here is that we have a complete graph, which is the communication graph. So every node or process can take to everyone. Okay, we have a graph again, so I talk about nodes again. And we have synchronous rounds. And now we also assume that we can have some failures so that nodes can fail. So the first thing we look at is so-called crash failures, which just means that a node at some point can fail. So what does it mean? Well, okay, here I assume that you can communicate by broadcast. Maybe you can also send different messages to different nodes. It doesn't, I guess everywhere we only need broadcast. Okay, so right, in a failure-free execution, what happens is the following, right? We have synchronous rounds, and in every round, every node can send a message to all the other nodes. And all the other nodes receive this message by the end of the round. And now a node can fail. And what does it mean that a node fails? Well, here we assume that a node can basically fail in the middle of a round. Okay, so and if a node fails, then in the round where the node fails, it can be that some of its messages are sent out and arrive at its neighbors, and some messages maybe don't arrive. So here is node P1, which fails, maybe succeeds to send the messages to P2 and P4, but not to P3 and P5. So we want to allow this. So nodes can fail, and if a node fails in some round, it might happen that some of its messages that it wanted to send arrive and some don't. Okay, so I hope the model is clear. So just synchronous message passing, we have synchronous rounds. And this is the case. We also always assume that the processes are just named from one to end, so we don't worry about IDs or anything like this. Okay, and if a process fails or a node fails, then it fails for the rest of the protocol. Right. So here, this node 3 fails in the third round. And in the third round, it might still succeed in sending some of its messages. But from the fourth round on, the node is completely dead. Right. Once the node fails, it's failed. Okay, so now let's just look at consensus in this setting. And okay, so everyone has an initial value. Everyone must decide on the same value. Let's just, okay, try to come up with a very simple protocol, right? And let's say validity just says, okay, if everyone starts with the same value, then everyone must decide on that value. So here will be a very simple algorithm, just the simplest possible thing you can think of, right? Everyone just broadcasts its own value, and then you decide on the minimum of all the received values. Or you replace the minimum with any other function which just depends on the value, so that in the end they decide consistently. That doesn't matter. You can take the maximum or whatever, the median. Okay, including your own value, of course. And if we do it like this, we only have one round. So if you have an execution with no failures, of course this works. In the first round, everyone learns all the inputs of all the nodes and you decide on the minimum. That's very simple. With no failures, this works. So what happens if you have a failure? So now the following could happen, right? You could have one node which has the minimum input. Here's this node with input 0. And this node maybe fails at the very beginning, the first round. But maybe not at the very beginning, so it still succeeds to send its input to some of the others, but not to all of them. And then, of course, things fail, right? Because the ones which got the value 0 will decide 0, and the other ones will decide the minimum of the remaining values. Okay, so this very simple protocol doesn't work with failures. So then we can ask, okay, what does work? So here is, so let me first introduce this. So let's make the setting a bit more concrete. So we say that an algorithm is F resilient if it works as long as at most F processes or nodes fail. Okay, so F will be a parameter of our algorithm. And F is kind of, okay, we know an upper bound on how many nodes can fail. So for example, if you want to allow at most 3 failures, then you want to allow a 3 resilient consensus algorithm, and then every execution in which at most 3 nodes fail, you should solve consensus. So let's assume this, and let's refine validity slightly. Let's just say, okay, we want all processes to decide on some value that is available initially. It doesn't have to be a value of a non-failing node. That we don't want to require. Just you have, but still, okay, if everyone has the same value initially, they have to decide on that value. That remains. Okay, so here's a simple algorithm, which we will see is F-resilient, and the algorithm just works as follows. Okay, it consists of several rounds now, not just one round. And in the first round, we do the same as before. What else should we do in the first round, right? We don't know anything else than our own input. So in the end, first round, everyone just broadcasts its input. And in all the subsequent rounds, you always do the following. You always compute the minimum of all the values that you have heard so far, and then you broadcast that minimum value of, right, of what the minimum you know. So you always keep track of what's the minimum value. I should just see that I don't have my chat open. I hope there weren't any questions so far. Let's see. Okay, chat is still empty, good. Okay, and at the end of round F plus one, everyone just decides on the minimum it knows. So let's see why this works. So here is first an example where we see it work. So let's say, okay, we have five nodes and they have five different input values, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So in the first round, everyone broadcasts its input value. But maybe the node with input 0 fails in the first round and it only succeeds to send its input to one of the other nodes. So now, okay, all of the other nodes know that, okay, all the nodes which 1, 2, and 4, they only got the 1. They have 1 as their smallest value, and node 3 also has 0 as its smallest value. So in the next round, this node might forward its value, might again fail, but forward the 0 to one other process. And if we want to be resilient to two failures, then at least in the third round, maybe everyone receives the 0. So let's just look at more precisely why it works. Okay, so if there are F failures and F plus one rounds, then we know that there is always one round where no node fails, right? So because every node fails, if it fails, it fails in one of the rounds. So if we have more rounds than nodes that can fail, then we have one round where no node fails. So after that round, everyone knows the minimum of the values known at the beginning of this round, right? Because no one fails, everyone sends the minimum it knows, and everyone receives those values. So after this round, everyone agrees on what's the current minimum. And if everyone has the same value, then of course the value cannot change anymore because you always, right, send the minimum of what you know. So once everyone has the same value, they will keep it. So this shows that after a round where you have no failures, you have agreement. And of course it also shows validity, right? You cannot invent values. You only take values that were here at the beginning. Okay, so that's a very simple algorithm. In F plus one rounds, it solves consensus in synchronous systems. This is clear so far. So this is again the argument at the end of a round with no failure, then things become consistent. So this round could happen very early on, right? But we don't know when this round happens, and therefore we always have to execute this algorithm for F plus one rounds. So if F is our upper bound on the number of failures we want to tolerate, we have to run the algorithm for F plus one rounds to make it work. Okay, so right, so we have a very simple algorithm, which works in synchronous systems, solves consensus in F plus one rounds. message passing systems. You could also get some synchronous memory, shared memory systems where a similar thing works. That would also work. So the question is, can we do better, right? Okay, we know we can solve it, and we have a simple algorithm, so is there a better algorithm? In particular, is there an algorithm which solves consensus faster in less than F plus one rounds? And it turns out that there is not. Okay, so if F is at most N minus two, which means if there's always at least two non-faulty nodes, then F plus one rounds are needed to solve consensus. Okay, or right. Okay, it's actually not so hard to think of. If you want to tolerate up to N minus one nodes, then actually the same algorithm in F rounds from before already works. Because either the number of failures is less than F and then it works, or it's exactly F, but then there's only one node remaining and then it trivially works. Okay, so if you have at least F plus two nodes, then F plus one rounds are necessary. And this one I want to at least convince you of. I will not do a completely formal proof of this, but I want to at least convince you and show you how one can prove this. So, but first I just want to give you some idea of the proof and also some intuition of why F plus one rounds are necessary. Okay, so we want to show that F rounds are not enough. Okay, in order to show this, we want to show that if we only run a protocol for F rounds, it cannot solve consensus. We need F plus one rounds. And we first just look at kind of a bad scenario to just get some intuition. And that's just basically the following, which we already had to some extent sketched before. So let's just assume that at the beginning there is exactly one node or process which has some value A as input. Okay, and then in the first round, right, this is just intuition. I don't talk about general protocols now. I just assume, let's say you forward everything you know in every round. So in the first round, every node just sends its input, or every process sends its input to all others. So there's only one node which has an input, has value A as input. And let's say this node fails in the first round and it succeeds in forwarding this input to exactly one other node. And then this exactly one other node now in the second round knows that A exists as an input and the others don't. And let's say, okay, this node now also fails in the next round and succeeds in sending a message to exactly one other node. And then also there's exactly one node that knows that input A exists. And if we play it for F rounds, even after F rounds, in each round we can have exactly one node that knows that A exists and it forwards this value to exactly one other node. And at the end we still have two surviving nodes at least, and one of them knows that A exists and the other doesn't. And now for some input A it should be the case that for every algorithm, there should be some input where this can lead to non-agreement. So for example, if you decide on the minimum, then you just make this happen where A is the minimum possible value. But if for some other algorithm, you have to do it differently. So this will not lead to a formal proof that F plus one rounds are necessary, but maybe it gives some intuition, at least why simple algorithms don't need F plus one rounds. But let's now also talk about how we can prove that F plus one rounds are necessary. So now I'm going to do this a bit more formally now, but I will at some point just do it still by pictures. So, okay, so this was just what I said before. So now let's talk about how we can prove this. And now we have to remember what we did in the very first lecture when we proved that some other setting in some other setting that consensus is not possible. So in the first lecture, we looked at this two generals problem, and we used a proof. Okay, we proved that the two generals problem could not be solved, which was basically saying right there, or in the language we have now, that in a synchronous system, consensus cannot be solved if messages can be lost, even with only two nodes. Okay, so let's just look at the high level idea of that proof again. Not the details, but just, okay, the main idea. So what we looked at there is we looked at the space of all the possible executions. And apparently this led to some confusion. So this is really important, right? We now for these proofs, we look at all the possible ways in which we fix some algorithm, then we look at all the possible ways in which this algorithm can evolve, all the possible executions. And then we define that two executions, E and E prime, are indistinguishable for some node if V sees some node V, if V sees the same things in both executions. So if they have the same, of course, if it has the same inputs, then it also receives exactly the same messages. Okay, so we define this E restricted to V as the view of execution E for node V. So E, this vertical bar V, just means, okay, what node V sees in execution E. And if this is the same for two executions, then for this node, the two executions cannot be distinguished. And then V has to do the same thing in both executions. Or we just we use this notation and said, okay, two executions, EI and EJ, are similar if there exists some node for which they are indistinguishable. Okay, so two executions are similar if there exists one node for which these two executions look the same. And then we did the following, right? We defined the following. Okay, let's say we have a whole sequence of executions, where for any two in the sequence, any two consecutive ones, these two are similar are indistinguishable for some node. For some node which doesn't crash in the two executions, because then it doesn't have an output. Now we have to assume that. Okay, so if two executions are not distinguishable for some node VI, right, then VI has to do the same thing, and if VI does not crash, it in particular has to produce the same output in both executions. Okay, so it means it decides on the same value. That's the only thing we need, right? If VI cannot distinguish between two possible executions, then it will decide the same thing in both of them. And then we used that as a valid consensus algorithm has to satisfy agreement, which means that all the nodes always have to decide on the same value, which means that if node VI decides the same value in the two executions, then all the others also have to decide the same value in these two executions. And now if we have this whole sequence of executions where for every two consecutive ones, the two are indistinguishable for some node, then just by induction, right, we know that in all of these executions, all the nodes always need to have the same decision value. Let's say here we just want to solve binary consensus, so we just have 0 or 1 as possible values, and then either in all the executions, everyone has to decide 0, or in all the executions, everyone has to decide 1. Right? I hope this is clear, but it's the same thing as we did before. And now we have the following goal, which is similar to what we did there. Now, again, we want to construct such a sequence of executions. We want to start with execution E1, which should be the following, which should be, okay, we have no crashes. Every process, every node survives to the end, and all the inputs at the beginning are 1. And if all the inputs are 0, A1 was 0 here. So if all the inputs are 0, then all the nodes have to decide on 0. And ET should be the same thing, no crashes, but now all the inputs should be 1. And if this is the case, then everyone has to decide 1. And if there is an if there's such a similarity chain which starts with execution E1 and ends with execution ET, then we get the contradiction, right? Because then the similarity chain says that in all the executions in this chain, because of agreement, all the nodes always have to decide the same value. So either in all of them, all the nodes have to decide 0, or in all of them, all the nodes have to decide 1. But now we have two executions which are at the end of this chain where the validity requirement says that in one of them they have to decide 0 and in the other one they have to decide 1. So we get a contradiction. Okay, so now the rest of what I want to do is I just want to kind of graphically explain you how this can be done. I won't go through all the steps and I will only will look at it in a concrete example. I hope you still hear me. It says my internet connection is unstable. Well, let's see. All right, so we will look at this for six nodes, and we want to allow at most 4 failures. So F should be 4. And then we want to show that 4 rounds are not enough, right? F rounds are not enough, so we want to show that 4 rounds are not enough. So this is our execution E1. On the left-hand side, right here, you have all the inputs. And basically, okay, this should be node 1, and this should be node 2, and so on. So there's a, for every kind of, the columns are the rounds, and the rows are the nodes. I hope this is kind of graphic representation of synchronous execution is clear. Right, we always have, and the blue arrows should be all the messages which are sent in a round. So the first kind of block of arrows here, this is round 1, and then this is round 2, and so on. And we have 4 rounds. Okay, so this is execution E1. And now we want to basically show that there is a similarity chain to go from this execution to the same execution where all the inputs are 1. Now this, of course, we have to do in a lot of individual steps, so let's just start with it. Okay. Okay. So let's first just look at the first node here. And now what we will do is first we want to let the last node fail. Okay. So let the last node fail, but let's say, okay, it fails in the last round, in round 4. But let's say, okay, first it still succeeds in sending all its messages. So at the end it's dead, but it still sends all its messages. So if this is the case, nobody will see a difference, right? At least except for that node, which doesn't terminate because it fails, but all the other nodes still get the same set of messages. So far this is indistinguishable for all the first 5 nodes. But now we just care about the first node, the one which is marked here in green. So now if this last node fails, then even if it succeeds only in sending 1 message, so even if we remove the messages from this last node to nodes 2, 3, 4, and 5, and just the first node, the green node, still gets the message, then the green node still doesn't see a difference, right? For the green node, these 2 executions look the same. Because right at the end, the only messages which are different here are the ones in the last round, and the green node doesn't get these messages, so it doesn't see a difference. Okay, so far we didn't do a lot, but we could make this last node fail here and only send 1 message. So now we switch to the view of the second node. So now we start from this execution here. So now if you look at this from the point of view of the second node, now this execution looks the same to the one where also the first node doesn't receive the message of the last node here. Right, so these two executions, they don't look the same for the first node, but they now look the same for the second node. So also these two executions are similar. But now we needed the second node, okay, to show this. And now we basically can continue like this. So now we can even make this node fail one round before, but still send all its messages. Of course, that doesn't make a difference. Okay, so now I want to continue in a similar way. I want to say, okay, now this node fails even before, and I want to again say, okay, I remove its, at least one of its messages. Right? I want to get rid, say, of this red message. So if I just drop this red message, say, okay, this node fails there, and this message is not transmitted, then the nodes will see a difference, right? Because this node forwards whatever it knows here. So it makes a difference if it's got this red message or not. So we cannot just drop this red message. So in order to drop this red message, okay, so here first I'm just going to remove messages we don't need, because those are messages which are sent to a dead node. We don't need them. So in order to drop this red message now, we have to make sure that this node here also fails, right? That this node cannot forward the information. So now we do the following. Now we say, okay, let's now also fail this, what is it, node 5, this second node from the bottom. And let's, okay, we want to the last node, we want to fail now in round 3. The second node should now fail in the last round. And here we can now play the same game as before, right? For this node, we can remove all its messages. First, we can remove 3 of its messages. This will not be seen, does not make a difference for the very first node. Then we can again switch to the view of the second node and say, okay, this execution now is for this node the same as if also this message is not sent. And now this node doesn't forward any messages anymore. At this point, we can now just go and drop this red message. And now nobody will notice. In particular, the green, the node marked in green will not notice. Okay, so now, right. And now we only basically want to fail the very last node. So if we now want to say, okay, I just wanted to get rid of this red message, but not of all the rest. Now I could add back these messages and just unroll basically these changes. And now I got to an execution where I just got rid of the red message, but all the rest looks the same as before. So now I want to maybe get rid of a second message here of this node. And now I do this in the same way, right? I let this node now drop, fail in the last round, remove its messages by creating some executions where for every 2 consecutive ones, they're the same for some node. I can get rid of all its messages, then I can get rid of this red message. And then now I can, in the same way as I got rid of these messages, add them back, right? If I add back these 3 messages, but not the one to the green node doesn't see a difference. Now if I go to the first node, also I can add back this message. And basically, I continue like this. So now looking at this node, I can add back this last message as well. And then it's the same as if this node doesn't fail. Okay. And then I can also say, okay, now I also want to get rid of these 3 messages. And I treat it exactly the same way. Just one message after the other. So I get rid of these messages. And now that I'm here, I can say, okay, now this last node, I want to already make it fail here. instead of here, I want to make it fail here, and here I can play the same game again. I can say, okay, I want to get rid of a message. Well, in order to get rid of this message, I have to make sure that, let me go back quickly, I basically have to make sure that this node here fails, right? Because if this node here fails and doesn't send any messages, then I can drop the red message. But for this node here to fail, I first have to make sure that it can get rid of its messages before failing. And again, I have to get rid of these messages one by one, and I do this the same as before. So I let some node here fail, get rid of its messages, and then I can already let the node fail here. Now I want to get rid of one of its messages. Again, I play the game here that I, okay, make this node fail here. And I always kind of play this game in the same way. I get rid of these three messages. Once I got rid of them, I can drop this message. Then I can add back to say these messages. Well, adding back always means that I do all the same steps as I did before in reverse order, in the same steps I did for removing the messages. And I can just continue in the same way. So in order to get rid of these four messages, I do it in the same way. I get rid of all the messages. Then I can make the node already fail here. Now again, I want to get rid of its messages. I want to maybe first get rid of this message. For this, I need to make this node fail from there to the end, and for getting rid of, and then I get rid of this message, I make this node fail to the end, right? And like this, I can get rid of all the messages. And in this, I kind of do a recursive construction here, and in this recursive construction, this was now not completely visible, I guess. But right, if I want to get, say, rid of this message here, I have to not make this node fail, but for making this node fail, I have to get rid of these messages of this node. So I was on the way there. For example, for getting rid of this message, I had to make this node fail. For getting rid of this message, I had to get this node fail. So I had to fail four nodes in the middle, but I can always do it so that in each round, at most one node fails. And then once I can do this, in the same way, I can also get rid of the other messages of this node. And I can create a similarity chain which starts at the execution where all the nodes start with a zero and no node fails to get to an execution where only one node fails, but this node fails at the very beginning. It does not succeed in sending any messages. Okay, so this was kind of a long construction to get here, and I skipped a lot of steps. I only gave you the main idea. You can define it inductively of how you do it, but it's a lot of nested steps. But once you're here, we can now go and say, okay, for when I again look at the first node here, if I look at this execution and this execution, where the difference in this execution is just the input to the last node, these two executions look the same. And now from this execution, I can again, okay, I got rid of all the messages, so I now can add back all the messages that I got rid before, right? I can make it fail long run later, and I can basically get to the execution here by just unrolling all the steps I did before. Now I just have another input. So I can get in my similarity chain to this execution. And then I can say, okay, now let's take a next node, which I want to make fail from the beginning. I can do it in the same way. I change this input to one. And if I continue doing this, I can get to this execution where I wanted to get. Right. So there exists a similarity chain, which starts from the execution where all the inputs are zero and no messages, no nodes fail. And at the other end of the similarity chain is the other extreme execution where all the inputs are one and also no nodes fail. In one execution, no matter what validity condition you define, it has to be a zero output. And in the other one, in this one, it has to be a one output. Because there is a similarity chain, we get a contradiction. Okay, so I hope this was kind of clear enough. So what does this show? It shows that, let's see what time we have. Good. If you want to solve consensus in a synchronous system and you want to tolerate F node failures, F crashes of nodes, then you have to use at least F plus one rounds. If the system consists of at least F plus two nodes. Okay, so this was just what we talked, and I guess we can go over this very quickly. Okay, so now I want to talk about some slightly different setting. Actually, it's not just, we will see it can be quite different. So I still want to talk about synchronous networks, and I still want to talk about this fully connected synchronous networks, but I want to change the failure model. So far we assumed that processes can crash, right? And if a process crashes or a node crashes, in the round where it crashes, it can still maybe send some of its messages, but then once it crashes, it's dead forever. And maybe this is sometimes too optimistic, right? Maybe we can have nodes which recover after failing. So they fail, but later they come back. Or maybe we have nodes which are just damaged, and if they're damaged, maybe they don't completely fail, so they still send out some messages, but maybe these messages just contain garbage. Or this garbage, maybe we even have some really malicious nodes which don't just send out kind of random garbage, but maybe the garbage they send out is even kind of constructed in a bad way to harm the protocol, to make the protocol not work. And so kind of the most extreme setting is what is called Byzantine failures. And here the assumption just is, okay, you can have a faulty node, but a faulty node just means that this node can do whatever it wants. So the node doesn't have to be dead. The node can just, okay, it can participate in the protocol, it cannot participate in the protocol, and if it participates, it can just send out arbitrary messages, whatever it wants. And if there's different faulty processes, we even assume that they can collude in an arbitrary way. So in particular, a Byzantine process can behave like a crash fail process, right? It can just say, okay, I just pretend it's dead. But it could do other things, right? It could fail at some point and then just send some messages in each round. And these messages could even have arbitrary content. So we want to look at, this seems a much harsher setting, right? Just dead nodes are maybe easy to deal with, but these are nodes which really try to make things break by sending out, maybe trying to confuse other processes, other nodes, sending out whatever information. So the F resilient we had before. Okay, so for this setting, we have to change the validity condition a bit. So first of all, for the output, we can only talk, okay, we only talk about what non-faulty processes output. And now, okay, so this is, we cannot talk about inputs of faulty nodes, because faulty nodes can just pretend to have some input. It doesn't matter what their real input is. So what we require is just that if all the non-faulty processes or nodes start with the same value, then all of them have to decide on that value. So let's just think of, if you think of binary consensus, right? If all of the non-Byzantine nodes, the non-faulty nodes have input 0, they all have to decide 0. If all of them have input 1, they all have to decide 1. Otherwise, they just have to agree. Okay. Of course, we still need at least F plus 1 rounds. Because, right, this is a more difficult setting. A node which is Byzantine, right? A faulty node can now behave like a crash fault. It can just stop working at some point. And even then we need F plus 1 rounds. So clearly we still need F plus 1 rounds. But okay, now the question is, in this case, can we even solve it? Because the simple algorithm from before maybe doesn't work, right? Just sending around the minimum seems to not work pretty clearly because Byzantine nodes can probably make that not work. And how many failures can we tolerate? Can we maybe, so it seems that, right, if more than half of the processes fail, or half of the processes fail, it seems pretty clear that it's not possible, because if all the non-faulty processes have a 0 as input, but there's more faulty than non-faulty processes, and these faulty processes are Byzantine, they can just act as non-faulty processes with input 1. And now you have more ones than zeros, and at least for one of the two directions, this should not work, right? If you have a majority which is Byzantine, this majority can probably, can enforce for every possible protocol, it seems that this majority can enforce some input. Not a proof, but it should be hopefully intuitively clear. But what happens if a majority is non-faulty? Is that sufficient? So it turns out that even that is not sufficient. And so here's a theorem, which I will just give you an intuition of why it's true. Kind of a proof sketch, just not a formal proof. So if the number of faulty processes is at least 1/3, then it's not possible to solve consensus if the faulty processes are Byzantine, even in a synchronous setting. Right, so if we have a third of your nodes are Byzantine, then you cannot solve Byzantine consensus, or Byzantine agreement. And in order to show this, we will just look at the three-node case first. So we will assume we only have 3 nodes, n is equal to 3, and we will show that this is not possible if one of them even is faulty. Right. We cannot solve Byzantine consensus with 3 nodes if one of them is faulty, is Byzantine. And then the general case, we will look at this later or afterwards, can just be proven by a simple reduction. So let's just look at the 3-node case. So here is first some rough intuition. So we want to show that there is no algorithm for 3 nodes, no even synchronous algorithm. Okay, so let's assume node B here is the Byzantine node, nodes A and C are honest. Of course, the nodes don't know, I mean, an honest or a non-faulty node knows that it is non-faulty, but, or if it doesn't, then it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't have to decide on anything, but the Byzantine node, right, it doesn't know which of the others is non-faulty. Okay, so node A talks to node B, which is faulty, and to node C. And just intuitively, right, node B might pretend, um, They also might talk about, like B might say to A what it got from C, so they might also talk kind of through the other node. And now, right, because one of the nodes is Byzantine, they might get conflicting information. So A might get information from B about C, which is conflicting from what it gets directly from C, but also it might get information from C about B, which is conflicting. And now just, okay, we will now go, we will do a bit more formally on the next slide. So, but intuitively, right, so node B, the Byzantine node, can always behave in a way so that for node A, the two nodes kind of look symmetric. You kind of see that one of them is not honest, doesn't play by the rules, but you don't see which one it is. So let's just look at this a bit more closely. Okay, so let's first assume that both A and C have input 0. If they both have input 0, they have to decide 0 for satisfying the validity condition, right? We said that if all the non-faulty processes have the same input, they have to decide on that input. So they both need to decide on 0, whatever B says. So B can pretend that it's a node with input 1 and otherwise just play by the rule, maybe. And similarly, if A and C both have input 1, they have to decide on 1. Okay, so this, they kind of have to decide on a majority. That's maybe not a formal statement, but now let's say one of them has input 0 and one of them has input 1. Now, okay, so B can basically, in its communication with A, it can pretend that it's an honest node and it has input 0. Right. B can say, okay, whatever I send to A has to be consistent with an execution where the input of B is 0 and B is non-faulty and the input of C is 1 and C is non-faulty because that is the case. So, let's look at an execution where B is non-faulty and its input is 0. And B, just all the messages it sends to A are consistent with this setting. And all the messages it sends to C are consistent with the setting where the input of B is 1, but otherwise B is non-faulty. Right? And now if B is non-faulty and it has input 0, but C is faulty, then this execution is indistinguishable. Or if B is faulty and it pretends for A that it has input 0 and it's non-faulty, these two executions are indistinguishable for A. Right? A cannot tell the difference to between B is honest and its input is 0, or C is honest and its input is 1 and B is just playing bad. Because if B pretends it's honest, it has input 0, it could also be that, okay, C is not honest and A therefore gets wrong things from C. It cannot know. Okay, so B can basically make A believe that it has to output 0 and it can make C believe that it has to output 1 because otherwise there is an indistinguishable execution where validity is not satisfied. Okay. Not saying this is a formal proof, but this can be made completely formal. But this is the basic, hope clear enough to understand why this is not possible. So you cannot solve consensus here. Now let's look at the general case. Okay, so the general case is now we have n nodes. We know that we can have more than a third of 40 nodes, so n is less than or equal to 3f. For simplicity, just assume that n is divisible by 3 and n is exactly 3f, but it doesn't matter. The same thing works whenever f is at least n over 3. And now we just use, now let's assume we have a protocol which solves consensus in this case. If we have a protocol which solves consensus in this case, then we can use this protocol to solve consensus with three nodes. We can basically use a reduction. So how do we do this? Now we have a network with only three nodes. And okay, and each of these three nodes, we assign n over three of the other nodes. Right? So let's say the nodes, nodes with IDs 1 to n over 3 go to node 1, nodes with IDs n over 3 plus 1 to 2 n over 3 go to node 2, and so on. And then, okay, and now we just run this protocol with the n nodes. The three nodes simulate this protocol with the n nodes, where each of the three nodes simulates its third of the nodes. And one of the three nodes could be faulty. And even if one of the three nodes is faulty, at most a third of the simulated nodes is faulty, right? Or at most, right, if it's divisible by 3, exactly f. And if f is exactly n over 3. And otherwise, it just makes sure that every node simulates at most f nodes. So you have at most f faulty nodes in your simulation. So if the protocol with n nodes works, then each of these simulated nodes should come to an output, and so, and they should, this protocol, this solves consensus, then okay, they all agree on an output, and therefore the two blue nodes here, which simulate a bunch of kind of these virtual blue nodes, they just see, okay, what's the output of these blue nodes, and I take this as my output. And because of the properties of consensus, this solves consensus. And so if you have this protocol with n nodes where a third of the processes can fail, can be Byzantine, you can use it to solve the problem with only three nodes by just a simulation argument. It's basically a reduction. And because this is impossible, right? We showed that this is impossible. We also know that this is impossible. Right. Okay, so we cannot solve Byzantine consensus with a third 40 nodes. But the question is if we can solve it if the nodes, if we have less than a third 40 nodes. Okay, so can we solve consensus if n is larger, is strictly larger than 3 times f? So at least 3 times f plus 1. And let's just first look at the simple case here. Let's assume we have one fault and 4 nodes. Right. So with 3 nodes, we cannot solve it with one fault, with one Byzantine node. Can we solve it with 4? So here's a simple protocol which works, which solves it in 2 rounds. Okay, let me see how detailed I want to do this. So in the first round, everyone just broadcasts its value. So how should we interpret these vectors? So every node gets 3 values, right? For example, okay, think of this as node 1, node 2, node 3 and node 4, and then if you look at this vector, it just means, okay, the first entry here is what it got from node 1. So node 1, the red node, maybe tells it, okay, I have input 1. And then the dot is its own, the place for its own input. You don't put anything here for now. And then this is what it got from this node, from the third node, and this is what they got from the fourth node, which is just the input. So every node writes down this vector. And now you don't just forward the minimum, you just forward your whole vector in the second round. And if you do this and you forward this in the second round, now every node can build this little matrix. So again, this should, let's look at this, for example, column here. So what should this mean? So this refers to the third node, so it refers to this node. And then it should mean, okay, by which way do I get this information? So I get the value of this node on this path, right? In the first node, this node sends something here, and in the second round, this node broadcasts something. And so in the first node, this node sends a 2 here, but because this node is not honest, it could forward the 3 here, so you could get a 3 here. But then you also get the same value two different ways. You get it directly here in the first round. That's the green value here, the 2. And then you also get it through this path. That's also 2. And so you get 3 different versions of each value. So the first thing we can observe is that for the non-faulty nodes, the columns are consistent here, right? You get 2 times the same value. I hope this is still readable. It makes some strange additional lines here. And for the non-faulty nodes, if I just take the majority value in each column, then I will get, everyone will see the same value for these nodes. So for the non-faulty nodes, I know what the value is. Of course, I don't know what the non-faulty nodes are. And for the faulty nodes, I might get 3 different values, or I might get twice the same value and one is different. But what the other thing we see here is that for the faulty node, they all get the same 3 values, because what is the values they get here in the column for the faulty node? It's just, okay, the faulty node sends some values in the first rounds to all the others, and then they just forward this value. And they, and because all the others are non-Byzantine, they forward it honestly. So for the faulty node, they all see the same column. All the non-faulty nodes see, they don't, right, different permutations, but the same values. So they can also assign some value to this column. So maybe if they say, okay, if there's some value which appears twice, then they accept the column, and otherwise they don't. Okay, and so let's say, for example, if at least 2 of the 3 values in a column are equal, then the value is accepted and otherwise discarded. And then the values of the honest nodes, which are the non-Byzantine nodes, are all accepted. And the value of the Byzantine node is accepted if and only if it sends the same value to at least 2 of the other nodes. And then it's accepted by all of them, and otherwise it's accepted by none of them, because they all see the same values in that column. And then you just, right, and then you have the same, you have a consistent view of what the value of the 4 columns is, and you just, okay, you decide about the minimum or the most frequently accepted value, right? You should decide about the most frequently assigned value in order to make sure that validity is satisfied, right? If several columns have the same value, you have to decide on that. Okay. So with 4 nodes, there is a simple 2-round algorithm if we can have 1 Byzantine node. So the question is, can we do the same thing with more nodes and more failures? So for example, does it work for general F? So it works if we have more than 4 nodes and still 1 failure, then the same thing works in exactly the same way. So what happens if F is larger? So for example, what happens if, say, f is 2 and n is 7? So still the f is less than a third. Okay, I don't want to go through this in too much detail, but so here if we have 2 faulty nodes, if you use the same protocol, they can make it fail. So basically, P and Q can collaboratively can tell the two nodes with a 0 that actually there is more zeros in the inputs, and they can tell with the nodes with the 1 that there is no ones in the input, and they can make it fail. And if you have some other rule of deciding, then can maybe make it fail in some other way. Okay. But it's also obvious that this has to fail, right? Because it would already fail with crash faults. Because we know that if we have f equals 2, we need at least 3 rounds. Right. And this was only 2 rounds, so this cannot work. And now I just want to say that there is an algorithm which works without going, okay, if you look at this, really interested, you find there is an argument in some link document on the website of why this algorithm works, and you find a lot, I'm sure, in the internet. So there is a simple solution which actually works, which is very kind of brute force. So there's a solution where, okay, in every round, every node just exchanges all the information it has. You always send your complete state to all the other nodes. And, okay, it's not... Okay, so let's not go over this in too much detail because there's too much information here. I guess the box in the end is important. So if you do this for F plus one rounds, in every round, everyone just sends everything it knows. And then at the end of these F plus one rounds, you basically, for every of the, you get every of the other inputs you get on many different paths of length F plus one, right? Or at most F plus one. Some of these paths are obviously inconsistent, and those you can drop, and then the others you can keep. And then there is a rule in which you can kind of recursively assign values so that in the end, you actually have consensus and that every node decides on the same value and also validity is satisfied. And this works whenever n is strictly more than 3f. So if a third or more of the processes fail, then we cannot solve Byzantine agreement. We cannot solve Byzantine consensus. That's the same. And as soon as more than, strictly less than a third of the processes fail, there is a protocol which works, can be solved in a synchronous setting. But this protocol has a lot of, okay, it has some nice features, right? It solves it kind of for any F as long as we have strictly more than 3F nodes, which is best possible. We know otherwise we cannot solve it. And it only takes F plus one rounds. We also know that this is optimal, even if nodes can just crash. It works for any input. It just doesn't need to be binary consensus, but it has some kind of pretty severe drawbacks as well. Okay, I mean, this can be formalized. There is a kind of not so difficult rule, but it has to be done. But this is the most important one, right? You always send the whole state, which means that the size of the messages grow exponentially, right? In the first round, you receive, if you have n nodes, you receive n minus one messages. Now, all these n minus one messages, now you have to broadcast. So in the second round, you receive again n minus one messages, but now each of them contains n of the previous messages. So after r rounds, you have like messages of size n to the power of r. So this kind of gets unpractical or unreasonable very quickly. And I therefore don't want to look at this algorithm in more detail, but I want to look at another algorithm in more detail, which is not quite as good, but which is much more practical. And there's kind of two versions of this algorithm, and I only want to look at one of them. And for the other one, you can check the slides if you're interested. Just call it the Queen algorithm. And so this is a simple Byzantine agreement algorithm, which only uses small messages. We will see how it works in a minute. So these are the drawbacks, kind of. So this algorithm only works if the number of Byzantine nodes is less than a quarter. It doesn't work for less than a third. So you have to have at least 4F plus one nodes. And it uses F plus one phases, but one phase is not one round. The phase consists of two rounds. So it kind of takes twice as long as needed. But by paying this price, we make it much more practical. Okay, so now we can only tolerate less than a quarter of failures. We need 2F plus two rounds, but then we can solve it. And here's the algorithm. So first, we assume that the nodes are numbered from 1 to n. Okay, so that is known, right? The set of nodes is known, and they say they are numbered from 1 to n. And we also assume that there is, okay, for every, And now we have these faces. We have F plus one faces. And in every face, one of the nodes is assigned to be a queen, kind of has a special role in the face. And this is generally known. So for example, in the, if the nodes are just numbered from 1 to n, in the first phase, it could just be node 1, which is queen. And in the second phase, it could be node 2, which is queen. In the third phase, it could be node 3, and so on. Now, because there are f plus 1 phases, so right, if this is predetermined, of course, the queens could be all the Byzantine nodes. But because we have f plus 1 phases, we know that we have one phase where the node, where the queen is not Byzantine, because we can only have f Byzantine nodes. And somehow we want to make sure that in this phase, all the nodes choose the same value, and that afterwards, once everyone agrees on a value, things cannot be destroyed anymore. Okay, so here's the algorithm. So it consists of phases 1 to f plus 1. And this is what you do in a phase. So each phase, as I said, consists of two rounds. So in the first round, you do the following. So every node just broadcasts its value. And then you do a majority. Okay. At the end, you decide on your value. Whatever it is, at the very end, the value of a node is the decision. And by sending here, I mean you also send it to yourself. This is just logically right. So because in the next round, you do the following. You see, okay, what value did I receive most often? And there you have to include your own value. And this one you choose as your new value. Right? You update to the majority value. And if the majority is not unique, you just maybe take the one, it doesn't really matter what you do. Take the smallest. Okay. So now if the majority is a very large majority, if there is some value which you received more than n over 2 plus f times, strictly more, right? And think of what this is, we will see, right? We have n nodes. So we have n minus f non-faulty nodes. Okay, so I guess we don't need this now, but we will need it later. So okay, let's get back to this later. We don't need this now. But okay, so what does this mean? If you receive a value from n over 2 plus f other nodes, including yourself, it means at most f of these values are from faulty nodes. It means you receive this value from more than n over 2 non-faulty nodes. So which means that, right, we already see this. If a node supports a value, it received it from more than n over 2 non-faulty nodes, which means that every other node also received this value from strictly more than n over 2 nodes. Right? It might receive different values from the faulty ones. From the non-faulty more than n over 2 of these nodes, all the others received this value as well. So if some node supports a value, then it means that all the other nodes also kind of have this value now. But they might not support it. They might just have this value. Okay, and then in the second round, we do the following. So the queen now broadcasts its value, only the queen. And every node which did not support the value. So if here you decide to support the value, then you stick to it. And if you just set your value to the majority, but you don't support it, then you just take the value that the queen sends here. Okay, so this is the algorithm. So now let's understand why it works. Okay, here we have an example first. Let's see whether we have time to go through the example. Yeah, I guess we have. Okay, so let's say we have 6 nodes, 141, so we need two faces. Okay, these are the inputs, and this is what's sent in the first round by the node, by the faulty node. And then these are the values that these nodes receive, right? They receive the node, the values of all the non-faulty nodes correctly, and then from the faulty node, they might receive inconsistent values. And everyone now decides on the majority. So the blue values here are the majority values. Some decide on 0, some decide on 1. And now nobody supports a value because, right, what do you need to supporting a value? You need to receive the value more than n over 2 plus f times. N over 2 is 3, f is 1, so more than 4 times. 3 is definitely not, so at least 5 times. 3 is not more than 4. Not 5. Okay, so nobody supports a value. So you're going to take the value of the queen. So let's assume the queen in the first phase is the faulty node. So the faulty node can now just send different values to different nodes, and now they again have different, they can now have again arbitrary values, right? Because the queen made them have arbitrary values again. Okay, because everyone takes the value of the queen. So now we have the second round, and maybe now it looks like this, similar as before, nobody supports a value. But maybe now this node is the queen, and now this node is the queen, now everyone, right, if the queen is non-faulty, it sends the same value to everyone, and if nobody supports a value, they will all take the value from the queen, now they all have the same value. We will see what happens if somebody supports a value, they don't take the value from the queen. In this case, it has to be the same value. We will see this. And now they get consensus, right? Okay, now we still need the third phase where after, so from now on, okay, we have, actually we don't need to, right? Now we stop, but now we all have the same value. So let's see why the algorithm works a bit more closely. So I claim that after the phase where the queen is correct, all the correct nodes have the same value. So why is this true? So if nobody supports a value, then all of them take the value of the queen. And then obviously all of them have the same value. So the only interesting case is if some node supports a value, right? So let's go back quickly to the algorithm. Right, so the algorithm was, here, that if you receive a value very often and you support it, and we will also see why we need this, and in this case you don't take the value of the queen. So, but what happens if you support it? If you support it, then you know that you receive the value more than n over 2 plus f times. So then you know that every other node received the same value more than n over 2 times. So all the other nodes then agree on what the majority value is, right? Because if every node, if you can only receive n values, because including your own, so if some value appears more than n over 2 times, this is the majority. So in particular, the queen sets its value also to this value, and the queen broadcasts the same value. So if somebody supports a value, then the queen broadcasts the same value. So if somebody supports a value, definitely all of them have to support the same value. All of them now have the same value. And then the queen doesn't change the value if it's not Byzantine. So now we can go back here. So some note. Okay. And now I want to show that if at the beginning of a phase everyone has the same value, then this value doesn't change. And why is this the case? Well, right, so now we need the condition here. So in the first round of such a phase, everyone gets the value from n minus f other nodes. And you therefore don't change the value, right? You get it from more than half of the nodes. But even more, right, n minus f is always larger than n over 2 plus f, and this, and here we use this property, right? Because if f is less than n over 4, then n minus f is more than I want to show that this is more than n over 2 plus f. So this is the same as saying taking f to the right side and n over 2 to the other side, saying 2f is less than n over 2, and divided by 2, I say I get, right, that this is the same as saying f is less than n over 4. So if f is n is less than n over 4, then I know that n minus f is more than n over 2 plus f. And if everyone starts with the same value, then all the n minus f non-faulty nodes send that value to all the other non-faulty nodes. So every non-faulty node gets that value at least n minus f times, which is enough to actually propose that value, right? To support it, I think we call it. So and then you don't take the value of the queen. So now even if after an honest queen you have a non-honest, a Byzantine queen, it cannot change the value anymore. Right. Once everyone has the same value, it stays. And here we need this condition which is stronger than f than less than n over 3. Okay. So this algorithm solves synchronous Byzantine agreement. And of course the messages now are small. You only have to send around single values. It works for any input, not just for binary input. It has two disadvantages. One of them is you need twice the number of rounds that are really necessary. You need 2f plus 2 instead of f plus 1 rounds. And it only tolerates less than a quarter of Byzantine nodes and not less than a third. Okay, so we can get rid of the second disadvantage here and tolerate really the tight less than a third nodes by using a similar algorithm, which I won't talk in detail, which works similarly. Now it also has f plus one phases, but now a phase consists of three rounds. So we now need a slightly more complicated algorithm. But the basic idea is the same as for the queen algorithm, and for time's sake, we're not going to go through the algorithm maybe quickly the algorithm. So now you have three rounds. At the beginning, you broadcast your value. And now you just check, okay, if you receive a value sufficiently often, then you call, you say you propose it, and afterwards you propose your own value. So here you don't make a majority decision. And then the king also broadcasts its own value, and you have a different rule of when you accept the king's value. And one can go over this and show that it works in the same way as before. Just now we can tolerate the larger f. But the cost is we need one more round per phase. Okay, so here's just a summary and the slides which are on the webpage also have the explanations as before if you're interested. So it's a very similar algorithm. The idea is very similar. Just here, we now need 3 times f plus 1 rounds, but we get to the tight condition of how many failures we can tolerate. So now I have, 5 minutes. Maybe I need a little more than 5, but there's one more thing I wanted to at least briefly talk about. I want to go back to asynchronous consensus just for a bit and just convince you that it can be solved if we use randomization. Okay, and here is the algorithm. So far we looked at synchronous, now we can go to asynchronous, but now we have message passing. So messages can be laid indefinitely, that's asynchronous here. So deterministic is also impossible. We didn't prove it, but it can be proven with a similar argument as we used last time. With randomization, you can solve it. And Okay, for the sake of simplicity, let's just tolerate less than 1/n/9 faults, Byzantine faults. So we can even solve it for Byzantine faults. And here is the algorithm. And I don't think we have time to go over it in all details, but I at least want to describe it and give you the main ideas. Okay, so you kind of have logical rounds here. So it's not a synchronous algorithm, just every node kind of has its own round. And basically you know when you progress to the next round, when you're done with all of the code here. It's okay. So first you have round zero, and there you just, well, you propose your own value. So you just send your own value to everyone else, but you send it as a message, a proposal message with the value and the round number. So you say, okay, if my input was zero. So this, by the way, only works for binary consensus. So here the inputs have to be zero or one. Okay, so this is only binary. So what's the first, so if my input was zero, then I would send a proposal 0,0 message in the first, at the beginning. This would be the input, and this is kind of the logical round. And then what do you do? And the author assume that you get your own message. You wait until you receive n minus f messages from the first kind of round zero. You cannot wait for more because there could be F faulty processes, right? And the F faulty process might not send you messages. But the other messages will eventually arrive. So you just wait until you have sufficiently many of those. So let's say you wait until you have N minus F. And then you just have some rules. So if at least N minus 2 of F of them have the same value, then you basically, you set your value to that value and you decide and you're done. Okay, you're almost done. You still have to do one thing, but you already decide. So then that's your output. And if at least n minus, so remember that here we assume f is less than n/9. If you leave, so n minus 4, f is still more than n/2+f, right? So if you receive a value at least n/n-4f, so more than n/2+f many times, then you just set your value to that value. Right. So if you have so in this case, kind of you have guaranteed that everyone receives the majority of those values, right? More than n/2 of those values, but not everyone, maybe n/2+f. And if this is also not true, so in this case, right, you know that everyone that decides like this will agree. So if this condition is true here, if it's true for different nodes, then it has to be true for the same value, right? Because this is strictly more than n/2, even if you only look at the non-Byzantine nodes that sent the value. And if you don't, if both of these conditions are not satisfied, then you just choose your value randomly. You just pick, you toss a coin and choose it randomly. And you continue. Okay, so why does the algorithm work? Just very briefly. So first of all, if they decide here, okay, so first of all, if all the nodes start with the same value, then, right, if all of them start with the same value, then in a round, then every node will get n minus f proposals, and all of them, well, maybe not all of them have the same value, but at least, right, of these n minus f, f could be from faulty nodes, so at least n minus 2f of them have the same value. So if all of them start with the same value, then by the end, then in the next round, all of them decide on that value. So once all the nodes have the same value, they will decide on it in the next round. Okay. And this one guarantees that if some node decides on a value, right, if some node receives n minus 2f times the same value, then okay, why do we need n minus 4f here? Then I basically want to say that all the other nodes now maybe don't decide but set their value to that value. So right, so if so this is the argument, right? If n, if some node receives the value n minus 2f times, then we know of these n minus 2f, at least n minus 3f are from non-Byzantine nodes. And of these n minus 3f, at least n minus 4f are also received by all the others. Because, right, all the others wait for n minus f, so everyone misses at most f. So therefore, all the others receive n minus f, 4f proposal of the same value, so in a round where some nodes decide, all the others which don't decide set their value to the same one. So nobody chooses randomly, and in the end, and this is, even if you decide, you still have to broadcast your value for the next round, and this is because not everyone decided. And then in the next round, everyone now has the same value, so they all decide. And the only thing we need to random here, randomness here is to say, okay, if nobody decides, then, okay, nobody, not everyone is here, then, okay, we just choose randomly, and here is the kind of drawback of the whole thing. So when does it work? Well, it works if the random decisions are, if the very unlikely event happens and they all decide the same thing randomly. So if we choose randomly, you could be lucky and everyone chooses the same thing. And if it's also the same thing, which some of the others decided. So some might set their value here. They set it consistently, and the others choose randomly. And if the ones that choose randomly all choose that value, then, or sufficiently many of them, then in the next round or in the next two rounds, it will be finished. And eventually this will happen. Okay, so I guess I'm over time, so here was kind of the argument which we talked about. So the probability that after the next round is going to be successful is exponentially small in n, right? So the expected running time is something like 2 to the n, or maybe 2 to the n minus f, or a bit better, but it's exponential in n. So it's extremely slow, but it works. And now one can ask, okay, are there better algorithms? And then there's different ways of asking that question. What happens for Byzantine nodes? What happens for just crash faults? So this I'm not going to talk about, but there's also something in the slide. So if you just have crash faults, there is a relatively efficient protocol which allows you to toss a coin together so that everyone decides this. So that you still get a random value, but all get the same random value. And then the probability that you get the right random value is one half and not exponentially small. This is not so easy with Byzantine nodes. With Byzantine nodes, there's also an algorithm which works. Okay. Let's not go over this. So you can also do Byzantine and asynchronous, but then the best algorithms are have a lot of other problems. So for example, the ratio of nodes which can be Byzantine that we know how to guarantee becomes small, or maybe it can be, I don't know all the results, maybe it can be improved, but then you get some higher message costs. There's different trade-offs definitely you can achieve here. Okay. So, and you can ask about, do we always need to send all the messages? And then there's algorithms where you can prove this. And let's not talk about this. So let's just come to a conclusion here. And then we're not so much over time. So we have seen that consensus can be solved in a variety of models. We have seen that sometimes it's not possible. There's lower bounds, maybe on the time to solve it. We kind of have, so this we haven't looked at all, but the rest here we have kind of at least seen, right? So what's the takeaway apart from the kind of some of the basic techniques of how to solve consensus or how to prove it's not possible? Is right, having some understanding here that, okay, consensus is a very central problem. It really lies at the heart of many things you have to do in a distributed system. And depending on the setting that you, what you can assume about the environment and about your system, it's possible or it's not possible. And then if it's not possible, right, if you have an asynchronous system, then you have to find some workarounds. And then right, either you use randomization or you just assume that kind of your environment behaves randomly enough that eventually it works, but then you have to kind of trade off guaranteed termination. So you can guarantee that, okay, you satisfy agreement and validity, but then you don't guarantee termination. The rate-free property from last week goes away. But maybe you still have something which works mostly in practice. So of course, right, for these things, you want to be things which are always correct, but then maybe the running time becomes maybe larger. So for also for this randomized algorithm we saw, the nice property is, right, it's Las Vegas. It always works. If it terminates, it solves consensus. Just, okay, the time there is awful, and it only terminates, of course, with some probability. But the probability goes to one. Okay, so I think this is everything I wanted to say. Here's some citations. Sorry for taking a bit more time this week, but I just wanted to finish this chapter. From next week on, we will talk about something a bit different. We will go back to distributed algorithms and networks, and we will talk about some graph problems. Okay, so there were no questions during the whole lecture. Are there any questions now before we stop?